1 John chapter number 2, we'll just read the text that we've been looking at as the Lord has allowed us to, and verse number 18 of chapter number 2. The scripture says, is everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, little children, look at this, little children, it is the last time. Note that statement, the last time. It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And if John wrote that it was the last time in his day, then how much closer are we there even now? So he mentions the word Antichrist twice in that verse and last time twice in that verse. Also, chapter number 2, in verse number 22, again, he uses that statement. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and His Son. Also, we find it mentioned again in chapter number 4 of 1 John, in verse number 3, chapter 4, verse number 3, the Bible shows us, says here, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now, already is it in the world. We can tell that we are in the last times when we notice all that is going on under the heading of Antichrist. And if you remember the definition for that, Antichrist means an opponent of the Messiah. An opponent of the Messiah. Whatever Christ is for, the Antichrist is against. And so we looked at that, and we've covered some things in chapter number 2. I'm interested in how that you and I can live for Christ in Antichrist days. A lot of people think that Antichrist days or the last times equals that you and I cannot live for Christ, that you and I would be defeated and we just have to go with whatever's going on. But that is not the case. John is writing to believers, and he's not watering it down. He's letting us know that in the last times, Antichrist shall come. Many Antichrists will come. And he said, and when you see that, whereby we know that it is the last time. Can you look around you and see the large and extensive amount of things that would fall under the heading of an opponent of Christ, an enemy of Christ, what is fighting against Christ, what's coming against Christianity? And I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but our country, I never thought I'd have lived to see even in the headlines that there is such an attack coming against Jews and Christians. Jews and Christians. And I want to tell you, friend, I don't know how to process that in my mind, because I never would have dreamed that anything would happen of that nature when we have the Constitution, not just the Constitution, but also the beginning and founding truths and the forefathers that started this country. They fled from tyranny. They fled from that from countries that put the thumb on them and told them that you got to do this and you can't do that and so on and so forth. But I never thought we'd live to see these days. But you and I, listen, can live for Christ. I want to let that go out loud and clear, that we can live for Christ in these last times. We can live for Christ in these Antichrist days. Just because Antichrist spirit, Antichrist ways, Antichrist morals, all of those things that is going on, that doesn't mean I have to be involved in it. I don't have to be overcome by that. Amen. We're living in the day of the great falling away, that it will precede the coming of the Lord, but I don't have to be falling away with it. I can stand and live and die as a victorious Christian. And I plan to do that by the good grace of God. But we find in the text here, as he talks about this, and we've already covered some area, and I'll just mention those. I want to get to a couple of specific ones if I can. But I've noticed that in chapter 2, if I'm going to live for Christ, there's some things laid out in this chapter that I need to have in my life. And the first one is first base, found in verse 1. And that is, I have got to be saved. You're not ready for the Antichrist days if you're not saved. You can't live for Christ if you don't have the life of Christ. You can't live a life you don't have. And let me just pause right here and say a word to the lost people here and our young people, kids that are lost, people that are listening that are lost without God, never been saved. If you died in the next 30 seconds, if you died in the condition you're in, hell would be your permanent and eternal abode. And what an awful thing. What an awful thing. Nothing could be worse. Nothing could be worse. But I want to tell you who's behind your being lost and you're staying lost and you're continuing to be lost. It is the spirit of Antichrist. The Spirit of God is wanting to work in your life and draw you and prep you and convict you and bring you to faith, bring you to salvation. But I want to tell you, that little voice that tells you to put it off, that little voice that keeps saying, no, now's not the time, wait till another time, you've got other things you're wanting to do, you're young. Let me tell you who's behind that. The Antichrist spirit, the opponent of Christ spirit, that's who's behind you continuing to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't listen. Why would you listen to that? Why would you listen to that? If you was caught in a burning house, would you listen to any voice that says, stay in the house? Would you listen to any voice? It didn't matter if they were dressed up in a fireman's suit. It didn't matter what they looked like or sounded like. We care about you. Stay in the house. No, you wouldn't stay in the house. You'd recognize that voice is one of ignorance and stupidity, and it's telling me to do something that's not right. And when that voice says for you to stay lost and don't go to the altar and don't get saved and don't believe God, listen, I'm going to tell you, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of Antichrist that is working in your life. But you got to be saved if you're going to live for Christ in Antichrist days. Not only you got to be saved, but number two, now you're going to have a relationship with salvation that's right. Verse 1, my little children, you got to be in the family. And the only way to get in the family is through a birth. Got to be born again. That's old-fashioned, isn't it? More importantly, it's not old-fashioned. It's in the Bible. Come from the very lips of the Son of God as he addressed a man by the name of Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, lived an outstanding religious moral life, but yet he wasn't saved. Does that need to be said again here? Does that need to be said here this morning? That religion cannot save you? We know that. That's elementary teaching, but I'm going to tell you, you'd be shocked how many people right here within the shadow of all of the steeples that are in Rogersville, Tennessee, that still believe that they're hoping that their religious connections and their religious deeds, and well, I was baptized back when I was a baby, or I was baptized back whenever I joined the church, whenever, that's going to get you in. No. Salvation doesn't come by that. If it come by that, then Jesus died in vain. You got to be saved. Number two, we pointed out that you got to have the right relationship if you're going to live for Christ. In Antichrist days, you've got to have your relationship to sanctification right. That again is in verse 1, my little children, write unto you that you sin not. Verse 1 and 2 deals with that thought. You got to have that sanctification. And listen, I know a lot of people don't even believe this in the Bible, but I'm going to tell you the first step after salvation The first step God starts dealing with a person after salvation is sanctification. It's not 16, 25, 45 years down the way. And he certainly don't leave anybody that's saved alone about it. He deals with everybody. Salvation that does not produce sanctification will not result in glorification. Anyway, got to have the relationship to sin right. Got to be that sanctification. I don't go to heaven because I'm sanctified. I go to heaven because I'm saved. I want to make that clear. I know it's hard to go through that subject of sanctification without having to stop every little bit and defend yourself. What you do and don't do is not going to give you entrance. It has to do with your rewards. It has to do with your crowns. It has to do with your eternal status. Amen, of glory, but it don't have a thing to do with you getting there. You get there because Jesus got there for you. Amen. And when I got saved, everything he did was put on my account. And when he went to the cross, everything that I did was put on his account, and he satisfied the broken law of God. So you got to be right with salvation. You got to be right with sanctification. Number three, we covered this last time, I think it was. You got to have the right relationship to the servant of God. And I'm not going to go back and revisit that thought, but there's several times, 11 times, even in one chapter, John makes reference to, I wrote unto you, I have written unto you. He's preaching and he's recording it because he wants not only them to know the truth, he's wanting their kids and their posterity to have the truth as well. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, listen, I believe with all of my heart, and I'm not saying that because I'm in that position here, but I know the importance and value of having a shepherd and man of God in your life. When things are going haywire, when things are all up in the air, when things are bottoming out and our economy's falling apart and our country, Lord knows what, is going to happen. Listen, isn't it helpful? I'm not boasting on myself. Isn't it helpful to be able to come to church and have a pastor open up the Bible and expound the scriptures? Not from a political standpoint, just give you the Word of God, help you, try to give you advice, try to give you some instruction, try to give you help. And I've been praying, Lord, help me to do that. Help me to be that. But number four, let's quickly hasten on. I want to cover this one. If we don't get anything else, I want to cover this one. And I mentioned earlier that God is going to have us to really bring out some things. God, give me a message this week. I thought maybe I might preach it this morning, but the Lord settled in my heart several times that I need to go back in 1 John 2 this morning. But we're going to be emphasizing the Word of God. God has given us some things. We're going to be emphasizing the importance of the Scripture, and that is the next point. Number four, you've got to have a right relationship with the Scriptures. Look at chapter number 2, 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 3. Let's start reading in verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Isn't that amazing? Right after he dealt with salvation and sanctification and the servant of God, he starts now dealing with the importance of the Scripture. The importance of the Scripture. Verse number 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, notice it has E-T-H on the end, but whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked, which is a reference to being walking in obedience to the Word of God as did Jesus. Look at verse 7. Verse number 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And then he goes into verse number 8. And a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light is now shining. The true light now shineth. So look also in chapter 3. There's several verses. I want to just read them to you. Chapter 3, starting in verse 22. I want to hear those pages turning. I like it. That makes the devil nervous. Because when you're flipping them pages and that word of God, that tells the devil, I'm fixing to get some help. When the devil hears them pages turning at home or at church, or when nobody's around and you hear them pages turning, the devil says, uh-oh. They're reading in the word of God, and the word of God exposes me. That's what the devil says. They're going to find out what my tactics are. They're going to find out what I'm up to. They're fixing to grow. They're fixing to grow. They're going to grow. Amen. Chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. Are you there? Say amen. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because. Here's why. Whatever soever we ask, we receive of him. That's prayer and answers prayer. To prayer, and here's the basis for that. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let me just comment right there real quickly. I'm not going to be able to go in real deep with this particular point, though it's worthy of it. That verse right there shows us basically that if God's going to hear my prayer, what I say, it is going to be based on me keeping what he says. I think it's in vain to pray and expect an answer if you are ignoring thus saith the word. Amen. All right, let's read on. Verse number 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So we've seen in those verses. Turn over, if you will, to chapter 5. We'll read a couple of verses in chapter number 5, 1 John chapter number 5. We'll give you a moment if you have to unstick those pages. 1 John chapter number 5, look at verse number 2. Verse number 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous, burdensome, weighty, heavy, grave. Amen. Some people act as though when God says don't or do in a form of a command that he's putting something on you that's burdensome and weighty and heavy and that'll take away your joy. But the Bible says it's not grievous. They're not grievous. The commandments of God are not grievous. And can I say quickly that we do not keep the commandments as a means of getting into heaven or salvation. We're not saved by keeping the commandments. Hello? I know that's elementary right there, but how many people still believes that? Well, if I keep the commandments. But see, here's what you got to understand if you're one of those, or you know somebody's one of those. You've got to keep all of them 100% of the time. James says if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And that puts us all where Romans 3 puts us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Amen. None of us are saved by the do's and don'ts. But I want to tell you quickly. I want to go quickly to this statement. That salvation is not free from the commandments. I'm not saved by the commandments, but my salvation hooks me up with the God of this Bible and the word that's therein recorded. Amen. I wrote it down this way. Keeping commandments is not the means of my salvation, but it is the manifestation of my salvation. A person that claims that they know God, listen, and have nothing to do with the Bible and never read it, and they're not interested in being taught, they're not interested in being preached, and they don't even read it themselves, and they certainly don't apply it. How can you apply truth that you don't even know? Listen, and I don't have time. I could take the time. I could finish the whole message on this thought I'm on right now. The connection that God's Word has with God's people. Do you understand? Listen to this. It'd be something to help you dealing with people that says, oh, all we're supposed to preach is the gospel. Show me that in the Bible. All we're supposed to preach is the cross. Show that to me. Here's a statement. There's more written in the New Testament in the church epistles that deals with believers and how they're to live than there are written in the New Testament about how to get saved. Amen. The Word of God, friend, is to be not just a vital part of your... Do you understand? I'm just going to dig in on it right here just a little bit. If we don't get no further, that'll be fine. Do you understand that you cannot get saved apart from this book? 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is what birthed you. That's the seed. Do you know that physically, no, there has never been a birth without a conception of a seed? Is that right? Well, guess what the seed is? The incorruptible seed. The Word of God was instrumental in you getting saved. Did you know you don't get saved? I'm going to steal this right here. You don't get saved because you call upon the Lord. Or let me say it another way. You don't get saved because you ask. Because it's possible to have an ask that the basis for that ask is I'm going to wait and see or watch and see. I've had them to tell me that. Over the course of my 40 years of preaching, I've asked the Lord time and again to save me, and He ain't never saved me. You don't get saved because you ask. You are saved by grace through what? Faith. You get saved because you believe the Bible. You believe what God says. You put your eternal destiny upon the promise of God. You know, when you get saved, when God's dealing with you, and when He's dealing with you, and He's put faith in your heart to believe God plus nothing and minus nothing. No feelings, no feelings, no goosebumps, no nothing. Just God dealt with me, showed me I was lost, I need to be saved. And He said He would save me. And He can't lie, and I'm asking Him to save me believingly. Asking Him to save me. Amen. You can ask God to save you 5,000 times, but until you have that faith to believe that He will do what He says, you're saved by faith. Faith in what? The Word. The Word. Amen. Listen to this. We're talking about the Scriptures. I'm not going to get any further than this one. I didn't see that. But that's all right. Hard times, last day, Antichrist living, hard times, listen carefully, will be days that are going to promote distance between you and your Bible. We'd probably be shocked right here in this room and people just watching our live stream this morning that hadn't opened their Bible in Lord knows when. And I'm going to tell you what's behind that. And I know from experience what's behind that. When you get out of fellowship of the God of that Bible, and you're crossed up with the Holy Spirit that wrote that Bible through men and people, When you don't want to open that up. You don't want him to speak to you through the word, and you don't pray. Usually those two goes together. An unread Bible goes with unprayed prayers. Most of the time that's right. Why? Because I don't want God to speak to me when I'm not right, and I certainly don't want to speak to him when I'm not right. I want to say it again. Hard times, last day times, the end times, as you would hear some people call it, is going to be days that are going to promote biblical slackness. And what do you need the most? What do I need the most? For me to preach, for you to persevere and endure and make it through the storm, and you have no relation or a pitiful relationship with the Scriptures? How many times did John... I wrote it down somewhere here. I've got it wrote down. He wrote the word keep, referring to keeping the commandments in five chapters. He wrote the word keep in, one, two, three, four verses. Keepeth, where he talked about keepeth the commandments, he wrote that in three verses. Seven times in five chapters, he makes reference to the importance of you and I keeping the commandments of God, and he's writing to believers. Keeping the commandments. You know what a commandment is? I know if you listen to some of the television preachers or so-called preachers, you wouldn't think there's even a commandment in the Bible. Do as you please, live as you please, that would be the message you get. But I want to tell you, the Bible still got the commandments of God in. The commandments of God. A commandment in 1 John, John's use of that, means an injunction, an authoritative prescription. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. The word injunction, I just looked that word up and that clarified it for me. The word injunction is a judicial process or order requiring the person to whom it is directed to do or not to do a particular act. I don't know if that got any word. You see, look, y'all got that look. That deer in the headlight look, you know, like that didn't help me none. That didn't help me. A commandment is that order given as a requirement to the person that it's being given to do or not to do certain acts. And when you get saved, I'm just going to help you with something. When you get saved, you become God's property. You become God's property, and he does have the right to tell you what to do and what not to do. Amen. The word keep that is mentioned several times in 1 John, keep or keepeth, it means to watch or to guard against loss or injury by keeping the eye upon, to fulfill a command, hold fast, be a keeper and a preserver of the commandments. Now listen, to keep the commandments of God is to guard against its loss of value, importance, its loss of meaning. You know why a lot of people don't read this? Good to have my cousin, Brother Roger, and his wife, Miss Darlene, best apple flitter maker in the country. God wasn't in that. I just thought I'd tell you that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And they already let me know, said they brought me some, and it's out in the truck, friend. So, but you didn't make them, though, did you? They come from the apple barn. Oh, I'm going to be suffering for that. Well, okay, back in the spiritual now. Back in the spiritual here for just a second. I don't even know how I got on that. Talking about Brother Roger, and then I got talking about Miss Darlene and them apple flitters. My goodness, I lost my train of thought. But to guard from loss or injury, to guard from if you leave this Bible closed, you know what that really is saying? That is saying that the Bible has lost some meaning. When you first got saved, how many of you remember when you first got saved? I mean, you couldn't get enough. You couldn't get enough. You'd read it. Every chance you got, you would read it. When I first got saved, I was a welder at Byer Sheet Metal in Hendersonville, and then I became a cabinet maker, or I worked at the cabinet shop. I didn't do much. And what was that? Never mind. But I would carry a New Testament, a little old Gideon New Testament in my pocket all the time. It was back when I could read that fine print. Now I can't even see the New Testament, much less the words. And I just, every chance I get, every time we'd have a break, I'd read a verse or two. Or I would be involved in trying to memorize Scripture, Brother Mike, and I would have little 3x5 index cards. And I would write the verse on one side and the reference on the back side. And I would put them in my shirt pocket, all facing one way, to where I could just look and see the reference, and then I could, see if I could quote it. And if I couldn't quote it and I'd mess up on it, then I would put that one over to be looked at more in depth. You know, and those that I could rattle them off, reference and the verse, I'd say, I've got that. And I would put that in a little stack that I would have to look at maybe once a month just for refreshment. All that to say this, I got saved and I had a hunger for God's Word. Had a hunger for God's Word. Do you know that's a sign of being saved? Was it 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby? Listen, if we're going to live for Christ in these Antichrist days, we've got to have and maintain a proper relationship with the Scriptures. And about everybody in here knows that, but we need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded of it. Listen, let me give you this real quickly. I wrote this down. The Spirit of Christ works through obeying the Word. The spirit of Antichrist works through disobeying the Word. Amen. Keeping the commandments of God is keeping them in your practical life. The Bible wrapped in shoe leather is a living, walking sermon of the Scriptures. I will read this to you. Paul wrote this to the book. Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 3, in verse number 2 and 3. He said, looking at those young converts, Brother Carroll, at Corinth, he said this to them, "Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." You know what he was saying? You are a walking Bible. You are a walking epistle. You're a walking Bible, read and known of all men. Is there enough gospel on the pages of your life for somebody that's lost to be saved? Our epistles. Verse 3, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ." From the character of the verse I just read, verse 2, Paul said, "You are our epistles." Verse 3, the very next verse, he tells the same people that ye are the epistles of Christ. The word epistle means a written message. You and I in our lives are to be a walking, written display of what the Bible says. Amen. You walking in obedience to God's Word may not have something to do with you going to heaven, but it may have something to do with your kids going. It may have something to do with your neighbors or somebody you work with. Amen. If they see Jesus in you and want what you got, then you'll have the opportunity to share with them what God has done for you. But listen to this. He said, "You are the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." is the Word of God in you. There's going to be a great falling away. You know that. You know it's in the Bible. I'm going to tell you what's behind that. That apostasy. I'm going to tell you what's behind that. It is a pathetic relationship to this book. You say everybody that's going to be involved in that falling away, they're all lost, preacher. I don't believe that. I believe there's going to be some that's going to be that's saved, Brother Fultz, but shallow, hadn't grown, hadn't took their spiritual life important, you know, made their spiritual life important, and they're going to have friends that's going to be sucked into that falling away, that apostasy, that departure from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some believers, immature believers, that's going to get caught up in the vacuum of that. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Lord, help us. The preached word and the printed word is crucial. I could say a lot more of that, but I'm going to be done right there. If you're going to live for Christ in these last end time days, Antichrist days, you got to have a right relationship to the Scriptures.